Welcome back to ZA Confidential, the podcast where we taste some fine stuff and chat a bit and then all go off to the pub. Today we are trying a bubbly from the Cape, I believe, and with me is our wine, food, all sorts of good things guru, Michael Olivier. Michael, great to have you in the studio.
John, thank you so much.
Normally I forget the other people, but today I shall remember them. Malcolm McDonald, who is from Clientel and also does a lot of our technical stuff. We have Jeff Osborne, not Jess of Osborne, unless you've had an operation I haven't heard about. Jeff Osborne from Gumtree Auto. And last, certainly not least, Mike Schussler, economist supremo. Thanks. One of the nicest people I know as well. Okay, that's enough bullshit from me. Michael, what are we tasting and why?
Well, I thought this would be quite fun. It's a new brand. It's called Aristea, which of course is a Cape wildflower. It's a Méthode Cap Classique Rosé, and it's a 2016 vintage. Now, Martin Krajewski, who owns vineyards in France, and who has a house in Cape Town, and Matthew Kroener have paired up to create this range of wines, and they're Chardonnays and red wines as well. But Matthew, of course, you know, coming from the Kroener family, pioneers in the Turbach Valley, has been making Méthode Cap Classique for 17 years, and he certainly knows what he's doing. I really, really like this wine. It's a Chardonnay Pinot Noir blend, which is where that lovely sort of what I think the Californians would call partridge eye, because it's pink but it's got a sort of an onion skin touch to it.
A bit like Donald Trump.
Yes, and lovely fine bubbles coming up to the surface, which of course is an indication that this has taken place. The fermentation's taken place in the bottle for the second time. And I just think it's absolutely delicious. It's got that nice sort of backbone of the Chardonnay. And then it's got the lovely sort of berry, sour cherry-ness of the Pinot Noir.
Well, I mean, Pinot Noir is one of my favorite varieties, and champagne has been something I really sort of limit to weddings and special occasions, but this is absolutely wonderful that you can blend these into the champagne, or... Well, what do we call it?
MCC.
MCC. Although bubbly was the word you used, I wonder if that's not a more accessible word for it in South Africa. But this is absolutely delicious. Lovely, lovely. Lots of interesting flavours in here.
Great. Jeff Osborne.
Equally so. Delightful. Very nice indeed. In fact, like Malcolm, I'm not a big champagne or bubbly drinker. I'm a little one. But I think the blend is delightful. It's a very, very pleasant blend.
Yeah.
Very smooth on the palate.
Yeah.
Very pleasing, very light. I can see it complementing various meals, fish in particular.
Yeah.
But just to even almost as a thirst quencher on a warm day.
Absolutely. Yeah, I always encourage people not to think of MCC as something that you need to open for a celebration.
Mm.
You know, that lovely middle of the morning refresher. And it goes really well with food, too. I think you mentioned fish and...
True.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm now in a celebratory mood, having tasted it.
Okay, well, just to take Michael and Malcolm up on what they've been saying, this is a celebratory occasion. Every time I come round to your place and we do these recordings...
I knew it.
It's a celebratory occasion.
Absolutely.
And, I don't often leave with all the silver, right? Which is good. Final thoughts on this particular bubbly, Mr. Schussler.
You know, it's a brut. It's dry, which I prefer, really do prefer when I have a bubbly. And like the other two gentlemen, I don't have bubblies very often. But I think this is beautiful. I agree with Michael fully. You can have this probably a nice... Well, I think if I have a mid-morning drink, I think people would get worried about me. But I can see this is a nice sort of summer afternoon, lazing at the swimming pool sort of drink, a bit in the shade. I don't know how to say, but it sort of smells dry even. I mean, it's got a got a dry smell to it. If dryness has a... Yeah, and it's got a very nice rounded thing. It does hit your top of your palate a bit, but it's a nice hit. It's really tasteful.
Yeah.
And it's not... you know, sometimes you get champagnes that are very sweet. I know they're not called Brut then, but they are really horrific sometimes. They're headache stuff. This is the complete opposite. 180 degrees, it is beautiful.
Yeah, the interesting thing, Mike, about this is 9 grams of residual sugar per litre, which is off-dry in terms of the sort of technical, because between 1 and 5 is dry. But some of the French champagnes, which are called Brut, will have anything up to sometimes 30 grams per liter. Really? Yeah.
Dare I ask, Michael, what would this typically retail for?
This would probably go for somewhere between 150 and 200.
Okay, well,
this is Arista. It's called
Aristia.
Aristia.
Yes.
Okay, well, sorry to interrupt you all. I think, in my opinion, I like this. I do find a slight bitterness to it. Sourness, bitterness. What I would love to do with this is just put in a dose of cherry brandy or cassis or one of these wonderful things that they add to sparkling wine, which isn't very good, and I'm not saying this isn't very good, but I think it would just lift it for me and make it a more enjoyable. Or, as you said, with fish, with food, I can... easily imagine myself scoffing a couple of smoked salmon.
Yes, absolutely.
With this, and I must.
Well, I think this will go very nice, like with a cream cheese sort of thing on on a cracker type
cheese too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, before we conclude this particular podcast, we are in election season in South Africa. It's a difficult time, and one of the issues on which the current ANC government, or the outgoing ANC government, will be judged upon, is the economy. Now, Jeff, before we started this recording, you were talking about one of the important indicators which gives people a sense of how the economy is doing, which is the auto sales numbers.
Yes.
Just expand on that. It hasn't been a very good year, has it?
No, not at all. And you're quite right, John. It always has been a relevant barometer of the state of the economy. You know, last year wasn't particularly good either. So coming off a bad year, January was down significantly on January 2018. But generally speaking, there's recovery, quite significant recovery in February. However, not so this year. And absolute surprise expressed throughout the industry that for the first time almost in a decade, that January had been lower than February. And then lo and behold comes March, which is worse than February. So, cause for concern. However, this month, April, passed, a bit of an uptick. In fact, the whole total vehicle market was up 0.7, so that's combined commercial, etc.
By this month,
over April last year. So the total mix of vehicles, sales I'm talking on exports, of course, up 0.7, of which passenger cars were up 3.9. So that's that's quite significant, and I think the general sentiment is that hopefully this is a recovery from what would appear to have been a very, very negative and a very bad and concerning trend. But, of course, it's all holding breath, waiting for the elections. And I picked up something the other day on Google. In fact, I saw somebody, something known as the Osborne factor. If you haven't...
Well, how pissed you can get on one glass of champagne.
Google it, and I'll tell you very quickly what it is. It's the tendency or the trend to hold back on a purchase in anticipation of some kind of change.
That explains why you never buy around. Mike Schussler, I believe you know a bit about economics, and obviously, unlike Jeff, you have a wider purview of the economy, employment numbers.
Do you have a Schussler factor?
No.
Just a quick snapshot of how you think Cyril did in his first year, and whether he should be boasting or hanging his head in shame as the elections take place.
I think I'll make it in very simple terms. I don't think there's anything to boast about. As Jeff has already alluded to, the first quarter numbers are going to be terrible. I mean, mining on a three-month basis by February was down 18%. That's real deep recession territory. We don't think it's going to recover in March because of the load shedding and the strikes they had. But, you know, taking it further, the mining, manufacturing, retail sales, everything is looking a little bit shaky. Retail, not too bad, but definitely manufacturing, mining, electricity, construction, all those sort of things are not looking good at all. But I think the one thing I'd like to just point out, I think we must give Cyril a bit of a break. The problem is that he's fighting such an internal battle on the one side, and also fighting corruption thing, that he can't just take to court, seemingly. And I think the Reserve Bank pointed out, we didn't understand how deep this corruption was. And I mean, this corruption is really from the top on down. So from the previous president, the NPA, the law enforcement officials, the whole lot. And I think it's going to take a lot longer to clean up. Even, you know, 10 months after this election, I think we'll still have surprises coming out at us. And that takes time to make the economy better after that. But I think the worst is perhaps over.
Okay, no one is suggesting that a cluster of white males is necessarily representative of the demographics of South Africa. But Malcolm, how do you feel? Are you comforted that we have Cyril Ramaphosa as a president and likely to remain in that job?
I don't like politicians of every single size, shape and flavour, so I think sort of the problem is not just South Africa, it's worldwide, that politicians, as sort of the definition of a politician for me, is someone who wants to attract followers and gain power. And I think if that's the definition that you're working from, then they're the worst sort of people to have in government. Unfortunately, that's all we have. So, you know, my view is it's all equally bad.
Like Olivier, do you think that our government is the right bunch of people to support the wine industry, or maybe they aren't supporting the wine industry because after all, we have horrible taxes on all sorts of stuff. It's becoming more and more expensive to eat and drink out. The farmers of South Africa are in a pretty awful shape, particularly down in the Cape where they've had awful droughts. If you were a Cape farmer, would you be cheering for Cyril?
You know, I honestly don't know. I just think that the sort of the national culture is not a wine culture. People don't really understand. Happy to drink a glass of beer, but people, I think, don't really understand the wine industry. Don't understand how many people are involved in the industry and families dependent on the industry. I think in the good old bad old days, you had a number of members of parliament who were wine farmers or chairman of wine co-ops, etc. So there was a sort of a kind of view. I just hope that with the new government that they look at the wine industry seriously. And assist where they can and give tax breaks where they can.
Okay, well, that's enough sobering political stuff. Just a quick reminder of what we were tasting, Michael Olivier.
We were tasting Aristia Méthode Cup Classique. It's a rosé and it's from the 2016 vintage.
And jolly good stuff too. Many thanks to Michael, to Malcolm McDonald, to Jeff Osborne and to Mike Schussler. I'm John Fraser, and this has been ZA Confidential.